You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. During the last show, we were looking at the book, The Biology of Belief, Unleashing the Power of Consciousness, Matter, and Miracles by Bruce H. Lipton, PhD. We were looking at the new physics, namely the nature of quantum mechanics. Let's look more closely at the now you see it, now you don't nature of quantum physics. Matter can simultaneously be defined as a solid particle and at the same time as an immaterial force field wave. When scientists study the physical properties of atoms, such as mass and weight, they look and act like physical matter. However, when the same atoms are described in terms of voltage potentials and wavelengths, they exhibit the qualities and properties of energy, namely waves. The fact that energy and matter are one and the same is precisely what Einstein recognized when he concluded that E equals mc squared. Simply stated, this equation reveals that energy multiplied by the speed is equal to the mass multiplied by the speed of light squared. Energy revealed that we do not live in a universe with discrete physical objects separated by dead space. The universe is one indivisible dynamic whole in which energy and matter are so deeply entangled that it's impossible to consider them as independent elements. Next section. They are not side effects. Their effects. The awareness that such profoundly different mechanics control the structure and behavior of matter should have offered biomedicine new insights into understanding health and disease. Yet even after the discoveries of quantum physics, biologists and medical students continue to be trained to view the body only as a physical machine that operates in accordance with Newtonian principles. In seeking knowledge of how the human body's mechanisms are controlled, researchers have focused their attention on investigating a large variety of physical signals classified into discrete chemical families and factors, including aforementioned hormones, cytokines, growth factors, tumor suppressors, messengers, and ions. However, because of their Newtonian materialistic bias, conventional researchers have completely ignored the role that energy plays in health and disease. In addition, conventional biologists are reductionists who believe that mechanisms of our physical bodies can be understood by taking the cells apart and studying their chemical building blocks. They believe that the biochemical reactions responsible for life are generated through Henry Ford-styled assembly lines. One chemical causes a reaction followed by another reaction with a different chemical, etc. The linear flow of information from A to B to C to D to E can be illustrated as simple Newtonian diagrams. However,
This reductionist model suggests that if there is a problem in the system, evident as a disease or dysfunction, the source of the problem can be attributed to a malfunction in one of the steps along the chemical assembly line. By providing the cell with a functional replacement part for the faulty element, by prescribing pharmaceutical drugs, for example, the defective single point can theoretically be repaired and health restored. This assumption spurs the pharmaceuticals industry's search for magic bullet-type drugs and designer genes. However, the quantum perspective reveals that the universe is an interrogation of interdependent energy fields that are entangled in a meshwork of interactions. Biomedical scientists have been particularly confounded because they do not recognize the massive complexity of the intercommunication among the physical parts and the energy fields that make up the whole. The reductionist perception of a linear flow of information is a characteristic of the Newtonian universe, not the quantum one. In contrast, the flow of information in a quantum universe is holistic. Cellular constituents are woven into complex webs of crosstalk, feedback, feed-forward communication loops. A biological dysfunction may arise from a miscommunication among any of the routes of information flow. To adjust the chemistry of this complicated interactive system requires a lot more understanding than just adjusting one of the information pathways components with a drug. If you change the concentration of substance C, for example, it doesn't just influence the action of D. Via holistic pathways, variations in the concentration of C profoundly influence the behaviors of the functions of A, B, E, as well as D. Once it is realized that the nature of the complex interactions between matter and energy, it's possible to know that a reductionist linear, A comes before B, comes before C, comes before D, comes before E, etc., approach could not even come close to giving us an accurate understanding of the nature of disease. While quantum physics implied the existence of such interconnected information pathways, recent groundbreaking research in mapping protein-protein interactions in the cell now demonstrate the physical presence of these holistic pathways. It's possible to draw illustrations showing the interactions among a few of the proteins in a fruit fly cell, for example, connecting lines representing protein-protein interactions. In such a diagram, there are literally dozens of lines connecting the various binding proteins, sex determination, RNA, splicing factors, transcriptions, translation, G-patch domains, novels, and so on. Clearly, biological dysfunctions can result from miscommunication anywhere within these complex series of pathways. When you change the parameters of a protein at one point in such a complex pathway, you inevitably alter the parameters of other proteins at innumerable points within the entangled networks. In addition, take a look at the seven circles in various illustrations showing these interactions that show group proteins according to their physiological functions. Looking at such diagrams indicates that if you can notice that proteins within one functional group, such as those concerned with, for example, sex determination, also influence proteins with a completely different function, like RNA synthesis, for example. Newtonian research scientists have not fully appreciated the extensive interconnectivity among the cell's biological information networks. The mapping of these information network pathways underscores the dangers of prescription drugs. We can now see why pharmaceutical drugs come with information sheets listing voluminous side effects that range from irritating to totally deadly. When a drug is introduced into the body to treat a malformation of one protein, that drug inevitably interacts with at least one and possibly many other proteins, complicating the drug side effect issue is also the fact that biological systems are redundant. The same signals or protein molecules may simultaneously be used in different organs and tissues, where they provide for completely different behavioral functions. For example, when a drug is prescribed to correct a dysfunction in a signaling pathway of the heart, that drug is delivered by the blood to an entire body. This cardiac medicine can unintentionally disturb the functions of the nervous system if the brain also uses components of the targeted signaling pathway. While this redundancy complicates the effects of prescription drugs, it is another remarkably efficient result of evolution. Multicellular organisms can survive with far fewer genes than scientists once thought, because the same gene products, namely proteins, are used for a variety of different functions. This is similar to using the 26 letters of the alphabet to construct every word in our language. In research on human blood vessel cells, it's possible to experience firsthand the limits imposed by redundant signaling pathways. In the body, histamine is an important chemical signal that initiates the cell's stress response. When histamine is present in the blood that nourishes the arms and legs, the stress signal produces large gaping pores in the walls of the blood vessels. The opening of these holes in the blood vessel wall is the first step in launching a local inflammation reaction. However, if histamine is added to blood vessels in the brain, the same histamine signal increases the flow of nutrition to the neurons, enhancing their growth and specialized functions. In times of stress, the increased nutrition signaled by histamine enables the brain to ramp up its activity in order to better deal with the perceived impending emergency. This is an example of how the same histamine signal can create two diametrically opposed effects depending on the site where the signal is released. One of the most ingenious characteristics of the body's sophisticated signaling system is its specificity. If you have a poison ivy rash on your arm, the relentless itchiness results from the release of histamine, the signal molecule that activates an inflammatory response to the ivy's allergen. Since there is no need to start itching all over the body, the histamine is only released at the site of the rash. Similarly, when a person is confronted with a stressful life experience, the release of histamine within the brain increases blood flow to the nervous tissues, enhancing the neurological processing required for survival. The release of histamine in the brain to deal with stress behaviors is restricted and does not lead to the initiation of inflammation responses in other parts of the body. Like the National Guard, histamine is deployed only when it is needed and for as long as it is needed. But most of the medical industry's drugs have no such specificity. When you take an antihistamine to deal with the itchiness of an allergic rash, the ingested drug is distributed systematically. It affects histamine receptors wherever they are located throughout the whole body. Yes, the antihistamine will curb the blood vessel's inflammatory response, dramatically reducing allergic symptoms. However, when the antihistamine enters the brain, it inadvertently alters neural circulation, and that will impact nerve function. That's why people who take over-the-counter antihistamines may experience allergy relief and also the side effect of feeling drowsy. A recent example of tragic adverse reactions to drug therapy is the debilitating and life-threatening side effects associated with synthetic hormone replacement therapy, HRT. Estrogen's least known influence is on the function of the female reproductive system. However, more recent studies on the distribution of estrogen receptors in the body reveal that they, and of course their complementary estrogen signal molecules, play an important role in the normal function of blood vessels, the heart, and also the brain. Doctors have routinely prescribed synthetic estrogen to alleviate menopausal symptoms associated with the shutting down of a woman's reproductive system. However, pharmaceutical estrogen therapy does not focus on drugs' effects on the intended target tissues. The drug also impacts and disturbs estrogen receptors of the heart, blood vessels, and the nervous system. Synthetic hormone replacement therapy has been shown to have disturbing side effects that result in cardiovascular disease and neural dysfunction such as strokes. Adverse drug effects, like those contributing to the HRT controversy, are a primary reason why a leading cause of death is iatrogenic illness, i.e., illness resulting from medical treatment. According to conservative estimates published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, iatrogenic illness is the third leading cause of death in the United States. More than 120,000 people die from adverse effects of prescribed medication each year. However, last year, a new study based on the results of a 10-year survey of government statistics came up with even more dismal figures. That study concluded that iatrogenic illness is actually the leading cause of death in the United States, and that adverse reactions to prescription drugs are responsible for more than 300,000 deaths a year. These are dismaying statistics, especially for a healing profession that has arrogantly dismissed 3,000 years of effective Eastern medicine as unscientific, even though it is based on a deeper understanding of the functioning of the universe. For thousands of years, long before Western scientists discovered the laws of quantum physics, Asians have honored energy as the principal factor contributing to health and well-being. In Eastern medicine, the body is defined by an elaborate array of energy pathways and meridians. In Chinese physiologic charts of the human body, these energy networks resemble electronic wiring diagrams. Using aids like acupuncture needles, Chinese physicians test their patients' energy circuits in exactly the same manner as electrical engineers troubleshoot a printed circuit board. Searching for electropathologies.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC. But it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenari, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We're looking at the biology of belief, unleashing the power of consciousness, matter, and miracles by Bruce Ace Lipton, PhD. We're looking at the chapter, The New Physics, which looks at the impacts of new physics, like quantum mechanics, on biology. Next section, physicians, the pharmaceutical patsies. But as admiring I am of the ancient wisdom of Eastern medicine, I do not want to bash Western doctors who prescribe massive quantities of drugs that contribute to the health professionals' lethality. Medical doctors are caught between an intellectual rock and a corporate hard place. They are pawns in the huge medical industrial complex. Their healing abilities are hobbled by an archaic medical education founded on a Newtonian matter-only universe. Unfortunately, that philosophy went out of vogue 75 years ago when physicists officially adopted quantum mechanics and recognized that the universe is actually made out of energy. In their postgraduate years, these same doctors receive their continuing education about pharmaceutical products from drug reps, the errand boys of the corporate healthcare industry. Essentially, these non-professionals, whose primary goal is to sell product, provide doctors with, quote, information, unquote, about the efficacy of new drugs. Drug companies freely offer this, quote, unquote, education so that they can persuade doctors to push their products. It is evident the massive quantities of drugs prescribed in the United States violate the Hippocratic Oath taken by all doctors to, quote, first do no harm, unquote. We've been programmed by pharmaceutical corporations to become a nation of prescription drug-popping junkies with tragic results. We need to step back and incorporate these discoveries of quantum physics into biomedicine so that we can create new, safer systems of medicine that are attuned to the law of nature rather than being counter to them. Next section, physics and medicine, a day late and a dollar short. The physical sciences have already embraced quantum physics with sensational results. Humanity's wake-up call to the reality of quantum universe occurred on August 6, 1945. The atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima that day demonstrated the awesome power of applied quantum theory and dramatically ushered in the atomic age. On a more constructive note, quantum physics made possible the electronic miracles that are the foundation of the information age. The application of quantum mechanics was directly responsible for the development of TVs, computers, CAT scans, lasers, rocket ships, and cell phones. But what great and marvelous adventures in biomedical sciences can we attribute to quantum revolution? Let's list them in order of their importance. It's a very short list. There haven't been any. Though I stress the need to apply the principles of quantum mechanics to bioscience, I'm not advocating that medicine throw out the valuable lessons they have learned by using the principles of Isaac Newton. The newer laws of quantum mechanics do not negate the results of classical physics. The planets are still moving in paths that were predicted by Newtonian mathematics. The difference between the two physics is that quantum mechanics more specifically applies to molecular and atomic realms, while Newtonian laws apply to higher levels of organization, such as organ systems, people, or populations of people. The manifestation of a disease such as cancer may show up at a macro level when you can see and feel a tumor. However, the processes that instigated the cancer were initiated at a molecular level within the affected progenitor cells. In fact, most biological dysfunctions, except injuries due to physical trauma, start at the level of the cell's molecules and ions. Hence, the need for a biology that integrates both quantum and nuclear mechanics, Newtonian mechanics. There have been, thankfully, some visionary biologists who have been advocating this integration. More than 40 years ago, the renowned Nobel Prize-winning physiologist Albert Szent-Györgyi published the book called Introduction to a Submolecular Biology. His text was a noble effort to educate the community of life scientists about the importance of quantum physics and biological systems. Unfortunately, his traditional peers, who considered the book to be the ravings of a once brilliant but now senile old man, merely lamented the loss of their former colleague. Biologists, in the main, still have not recognized the importance of this book. But research suggests that sooner or later, they will have to come to realize the importance of this book, because the weight of scientific evidence is toppling the old materialist paradigm. You recall the movements of protein molecules that are the stuff of life. Scientists have tried to predict these movements using the principles of Newtonian physics, but alas, to no avail. By now, I bet you can guess why. In the year 2000, an article by V. Profuriest and L. Goodman in the Journal of Nature revealed that the laws of quantum physics, not Newtonian laws, controlled a molecule's life-giving movements. Reviewing this groundbreaking study for Nature, biophysicist F. Feinhold concluded, quote, "When will chemistry textbooks begin to serve as aids rather than barriers to this enriched quantum mechanical perspective on how molecular turnstiles work?" He further emphasized, quote, "What are the forces that control the twisting and folding of molecules into complex shapes? Don't look for the answers in your organic chemistry textbook," unquote. Yet, organic chemistry provides the mechanistic foundation for biomedicine, and as Feinhold notes, that branch of science is so far out of date that its textbooks have yet to recognize quantum mechanics as even being a science. Conventional medical researchers have no understanding of the molecular mechanisms that truly provide for life. So we're going to be looking at this and many other interesting points to be made by this fascinating book by Bruce Lipton. And we're going to be looking at further applications of the new physics to biology and the impact of biology and belief. So please stay tuned to further shows.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby, and Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
Listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.